I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to episode
nine.
So episode nine is all about missed opportunities, missed connections.
You know, like when you go on Craigslist and that creep that you saw on the 6 train was like, hey, to the girl in the black sweater.
I think that's like a welcome missed connection.
Oh.
So like, yeah.
These are missed connections that advertisers and brands haven't seen.
Exactly. The ones that you go, oh, why didn't we think about that?
And speaking of missed connections, later on the show, we're going to have Panoply podcast host Andrea Salenzi from
YOY.
Dating is awkward. No one's ever themselves. The whole setup feels artificial.
Well, I mean, I'm David, you know, as we've met before.
Yes, but I was also meeting a lot of guys that night.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
She has a podcast all about dating. What's it like dating right now with all this crazy technology? How do you make these connections? And she talks a lot about how dating's actually become something that used to be done in public and now it's done in private. So it's really interesting. And we talked to her about a lot of misconnections, like right. Where opportunities that brands could like actually punch out and do something really different and create community within the dating scene.
Right. So before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about some missed opportunities we think that brands aren't seeing so that all of you in Adlandia can take them back to the boardroom and call your clients and say, we heard this on this week's show.
I think the biggest thing that you and I try to do, right, is to stop looking at what a brand or a company does and, right, like what they do versus why they do it.
Right.
And then find connections from there.
Right.
And I think that that's like the kind of has driven our thinking in some of the partnerships and the things that we've put together.
Right. And we've talked to a number of our guests, be it Carlos Watson and talking about OzzyFest and particularly the episode with David Platts, talking about how offline experiences and the idea that when the interface goes away presents big opportunities.
Huge opportunities, yeah.
And so let's jam a little bit on some of the brands that we think are missing the mark. I mean, we talked to Andrea.
Or just have an opportunity, right? Like,
right.
Just like think differently about, you know, what you could be.
Right. So we've talked about Airbnb, for example.
I mean, Airbnb knows their opportunities. It's not like we're like pointing some of this stuff out, but they've been really driving into this kind of community idea, right?
Right.
How do you create community? And we were talking to Andrea and we talked to one of our colleagues too, who had just broken up with a girl. And we said, you know what would be kind of cool is like you just broke up with someone. You're kind of restless in the city. You want a different experience. What if Airbnb had some form of a social side, a dating side, where you could go and select an experience and go hang out with a person, you
right.
know, for a day, for a night, whatever.
And I think some of these clubs, and particularly because we're based here in Manhattan, we get to see it a little bit more front and center. But some of the social clubs that you have popping up, obviously you have the Uber exclusives like The Wing, a women's social club that's emerged here in Manhattan, and where you've not just got the dating side, but also the socialization, new to Manhattan, trying to make waves within your profession and kind of galvanizing these communities where brands can provide value. And I think you're starting to see that. I know that The Wing has been looking to partner with strategic brands to kind of come in and provide value. So whether those are speakers and thought leaders and experts or
products,
product
and,
integration, right?
Right, like smart product integration. I think, you know, what's interesting is, and I think we talked to Andrea about this a little bit. We've talked to a couple of people, like we're being like little social anthropologists right now, but like the opportunity where networking, right, on one side, whether it's networking in your personal life or networking in your business life, is now melding into, like, if it's work over on the left, it's personal over on the right. And those things are kind of melding into one experience. And I think that there is so much to be said in terms of opportunities for brands to either make that connection or be inserted into that connection.
Right. As Barb says, you are the company you keep.
Well, it's true. Like, if you're talking to people who are outdoor enthusiasts, who, you know, are risk takers, they're probably risk takers in their jobs
right.
as well, right?
People that get adrenaline rushes. Yeah.
They probably are early adopters in technology. all of those things. And I think the opportunity for brands to come in and say, okay, I'm going to, this is what makes sense, whether it's like a brand about food and cooking. Like we were just talking about this. We were like, oh, it'd be really interesting. HelloFresh or
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron. Why couldn't they do something with, you know, a dating night? We were talking about Netflix doing like a full package of like a social slash dating experience. And it doesn't mean that those brands all of a sudden become dating apps or solely about dating. It's that they're pushing into kind of key areas.
Shared connections and experiences.
Yeah. And like the offline and the online. And I think that we're just going to keep seeing this as being like a really, really pervasive trend across how people network and how people communicate and how they're finding community. So Andrea even talked about how Bumble has you find your BFF. So you can go if you like move to a new city, which is really hard to do. We've all done this, right? You move to a new city, maybe you know one or two people, but they may not be the people that like yoga like you do. They may not be the soul cycle enthusiasts like you are.
Right.
Because I'm not. Like if you move to a city where I was and you said, I need a soul cycle friend, I wouldn't be that friend.
No.
Right.
You'd be my drinking friend.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's an area. So one of the areas that we talked about where there's some wide open freeway to do this is in the wellness space. And particularly with millennials and this kind of idea of shared experiences and connections, you know, this isn't necessarily about spirituality or fitness. It's just holistic wellness. And very few brands have cracked that open. I mean, with the exception of Arianna Huffington and Thrive and our good friend Kelly Schweitzer over there, who's really taken it mainstream and talking about Arianna is not just about sleep. Sleep happens to be one element of a broader wellness platform.
It's all about wellness. It's about living your best life.
Right.
Being your best self and living your best life.
And we see these waves happen, right? Because Oprah with Super Soul Sundays essentially started talking about the platform. And then you've got Arianna kind of capturing thought leaders in it. But where are the brands kind of intersecting now to pay off on it and kind of create these shared experiences where, you know, maybe it is yoga in the park, which some do, but it's not good enough, in my opinion, to just have it one Sunday of the year.
Right. No, I totally agree. It's like well-being could be a whole offshoot for Chase.
Right.
Finances are a part of your total well-being. And why isn't that important? Like Elevest. Is it Elevest? That is all about female empowerment through smart financial investment.
Right. Because that for millennials, financials are one of the, if not, I mean, when you look at the student debt number, I was reading an article about this morning.
It's so freaky.
It's the average debt is somewhere between like $30,000 to $35,000 in student debt. And, you know, millennials aren't buying homes. It's why millennials are choosing to move in certain cities where they can just simply afford to be. But yeah, I mean, those are areas where brands should be coming in. These are, like I always say, like, why did I learn geometry and not how to do my taxes?
And I think it's just normal human nature, right? When you think about, oh, JP Morgan Chase is a bank, right? It's a bank. They do X, Y, and Z.
I think you keep bringing them up is because they've laid the groundwork in terms of kind of becoming the Amex of our generation, right? When you think about what the Platinum Card has done and what Sapphire Reserve has done is really kind of reinvent and reimagine what's important to our generation and the one after us.
Yeah.
And so as you've got Gen Z coming up and kind of what are important to them, these bigger firms and institutions that are one-dimensional in product and service offering, right? They have their specific category, now have the ability to kind of take what they're good at, educate, provide experiences based on, all of these sorts of things where it's no longer just about have you done your banking with us today, but it's how have you thought about financial wellness? What does this mean in your social circle?
I think it's interesting. I think like LinkedIn's another example. Like I've been dying for LinkedIn to do something different for such a long time. Like
I have an idea.
Okay, wait, so do I. Okay, let's talk about it. So like LinkedIn has all been about your social network, finding your next job, right?
Right.
Why isn't it about just being successful in life? That opens up, like when you change that meaning, that purpose of LinkedIn, it opens up totally new areas that they can be playing in.
Like your social network for success.
Your social network for success. What does it look like when we're going into this world of gig economy, right? Where people aren't going to have full-time jobs the same way we've had full-time jobs. There are no 26-year jobs probably around, right?
There are side hustles that become real hustles.
Real hustles. Right. And those could last from 6 months to 2 years, and then you move on to something else, but you get deep, like, expertise in a certain area, and then it moves you into a whole nother place and you start leapfrogging around in the industry. I think like we're on the cusp of entrepreneurship on a whole nother level. It's like entrepreneurship on steroids, right?
So can I add a layer to that? Because one of the things we've talked about, media companies in particular missing the boat on, and perhaps it then falls on the weight of brands, is, and this might be an idea for LinkedIn, how do we start identifying the next wave of talent?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like the kid that's graduated from X, Y, and Z university that has this degree, that has internship experiences, you know. It is that idea of helping people come back into the workforce, thinking about who is, and you, I say this till I'm blue in the face and nobody has been able to answer me, who is the next Barbara Walters of our generation? Who is the future, you know, politician from whomever, you know, city, municipality, et cetera. And nobody is stepping up to really make that a business platform.
Make it a platform. Yeah, right. No, I totally agree.
And maybe LinkedIn is poised to do that.
But I think the way we're talking about like LinkedIn, Chase, those opportunities is very similar to like how we can think about just socializing and networking in our lives, right? Not being linear about what I am, what this brand does, but really thinking outside of why do they exist? Asking that question and then figuring out the purpose from that. And I think that we see like when we talk to Andrea, there are a lot of examples of brands that she could work with that could add a whole nother dimension to the dating experience off the app.
So this is one way
date,
I can,
You know, around the date versus right during the date or finding that person.
Creating an ecosystem. And this is how I think you and I have done some of our best work, is really putting the idea at the center and thinking about, to your point, what is the context?
Yeah.
And then it no longer becomes, okay, this should be promoted in TV, digital, and print because that's the way it's been done for 40 years. Wrong answer, in our opinion. But instead thinking, here's a concrete idea that taps into this psychographic, this cultural trend, this you know, physical manifestation, this technological whatever.
And it gives so much value, and there's a surprise element. There's a delight element. There's something smart about when you interface with this. It's not just a utility.
Right. So when currency becomes value exchange and how you show up in the world and how that product, good, or service, what it means, what the context of it is, and what expertise you bring to the table.
Change the relationship with your consumers fundamentally.
Mic drop. So that said,
we're going into our episode with Andrea. Great interview. Hope you enjoy it.
And be sure to subscribe and follow her at YOY through the Panoply Network. We're excited to have her.
Welcome back to
Adlandia with Andrea Salenzi, the host of Panoply's podcast.
YOY. Thanks for having
me
on.
Welcome to the show, Andrea. We're so happy you're here.
So even though neither of us are in the dating scene, we love listening to YOY. It actually kind of terrifies me. We were saying this off mic, like, I could not make it out there today. Like, I could not survive.
I'm vicariously living through you.
On some stuff. On some stuff. And the other stuff that we've heard on the show, we're like, whoa, people talk about this? It's kind of amazing.
It's amazing.
So we want to hear from you. Like, what was the impetus for the show?
Well, I started the show as a volunteer at a community radio station maybe like 3-4 years ago, and just did it as a passion project on the side. And it was because I was so painfully lonely and very single and was all I could talk about with my friends. And then I met a guy and I got this amazing job at Slate producing The Gist with Mike Pesca. Things got better, retired the show. And then I got this amazing opportunity from Panoply to start it up again. They basically said, if you've done 500 episodes with the wonderful Mike Pesca, everyone gets a podcast for that.
it's like the five-year award.
Yeah, totally.
Graduation at Panoply.
Yeah.
You get a show.
So I started up the podcast, happily living with my boyfriend, everything going great. I was like, oh, I'm just like an anthropologist diving into the world of online dating from the outside and this happy relationship. And then we broke up. So in a lot of ways, the show, starting at episode 8, has been me kind of reeling from a change in plans and trying to imagine what my future is going to look like. So the show's part personal journal, but it's also looking at what's going on with dating today, what's going on with the technology and the industry.
So what is going on?
Because we were in the dating scene
We were just talking about
pre-iPhone.
Pre-app.
I don't even know.
We're not dinosaurs. Match was the dating
only thing.
No, there was Match. There was eHarmony.
MySpace. I met a lot of people through MySpace. And AOL chat rooms. Is that weird?
Yeah, I know. Creepers, people meet on Instagram and Twitter today. I don't think it's very different.
If it wasn't for AOL Instant Messenger, my significant other and I of 8 or 9 years, we can't figure that out, would not be together.
Well, he says 8, you say 9.
Yeah, so yeah. There you go. There's my relationship. But yeah, talk to us, Andrea, a little bit about what you're seeing and, you know, kind of in this exploration back into the scene, how much technology is influencing and impacting the dating world.
Well, when I talked to I'm incredibly close with my grandma, and I talked to her a lot about what dating was like for her in 1947 Brooklyn. You know, she grew up in East New York. She went to college at Syracuse. Like, she's from this area. And when she was dating, the rules were incredibly clear. Guy asked you out to your face. You went out for a date, dinner, and dancing. And you did it out in public. Everyone knew you were dating this person. Eventually, you go steady. Eventually, you get engaged and you get married. And you know that that's what this is all kind of leading to. And there have been a lot of advances in technology since then. Birth control, yeah. My ability to have like a very rich career. And instead of getting married at the age of 22, I'm now very single at the age of 32. So we can feel that the rules have changed. Everything's shifted. And now the rules of dating are very much being determined by our technology. You know, I think we're past the point where dating on an app is weird and out of the ordinary. It's becoming more standard. But at the same time, we're figuring out the ethics of this new digital space.
So do you think that's an opportunity for some of these, they're really technology companies, right? Like dating apps, to start really creating a sense of community to get people in a place where maybe they feel a sense of, I don't want to say safety, like not physical safety, but like more emotional safety. I mean, do you think that's an opportunity?
I think it's a moral obligation for the apps to make me
good
feel
answer.
Safe. You know, OkCupid, my profile, this is so embarrassing to admit, is a...
We're looking for love on this show today, so just go all in.
I think you're... I am surprised that you're embarrassed because the stuff that you talk about is so personal.
Right.
So, like, you're beyond that.
Okay, but this is me making a joke that I thought was funny 5 years ago and then kind of sticking with it. So my profile isn't my actual bio. It's the bio of Kim Jong-il, and I thought this was so creative.
Amazing.
So I say I was born on this mountain and foretold by a swallow, and I have a perfect golf score, and I invented the hamburger. And guys think
and I hate Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. And it's kind of a test of your ability to understand irony and understand a joke or even Google what
is
this mountain.
Just be a person of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put out this bio, Korean dictator. It's a joke. I'm seeing if you get my joke.
Right.
And a guy said, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, what are you doing? Checked out his profile. Wasn't interested. You don't really have to respond in that situation because I'm getting 4 or 5 messages a day. It'd just be too much. So a day later, he says, oh, I guess you're not a dictator. You're just a dick.
Ooh.
So you're like, damn.
Now I have to respond.
So did you respond?
No, I blocked him. But you know what happens when you block someone on OkCupid? Some light gray lines go over their message, but you can still see it. And
so
it's still
like,
right there in your inbox. You can't
really get rid of it.
Right.
I mean, you can delete it.
So being on OkCupid as a woman feels like standing on a train platform naked and all these guys are shouting at you and they can say anything they want and you can block, light gray lines.
Hello, OkCupid, huge product improvement there.
Yeah.
And if you actually want to compete with like a Bumble who is all about the female empowerment side, right? Or so they say.
Right.
That's actually
so let's talk about that. So
I don't know
OkCupid
how they could
was early
that.
Days, right? So like you've got Match, you've got OkCupid,
Bumble. You've got this
eHarmony. You've got these.
What's the new one that we were just talking about? Raya.
Skills. Yeah. So like, there's obviously been a couple of newer guys on the scene, whether it's Raya, whether it's Bumble, that are apps that obviously Bumble
guys
came out of Tinder.
Apps.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. that have been born out of presumably best practices or things that they've learned that have gone sideways with bigger networks for dating.
Yeah.
But like, talk to us a little bit how what you've seen where tech has gotten it right and where people have learned from the mistakes that like an OkCupid has made and why that's caused you to potentially shift your behaviors and where you're engaging or fishing or whatever it's called.
Fishing.
There's a fish one.
Yeah. Well, it seems really right. So I think, You know, I don't work in the tech world. I know very little about startup founding. But from my perspective, it feels like OkCupid was how all my friends met someone 5 years ago.
Yep.
So I'm told by everyone, get on OkCupid. Come on. It worked for me 5 years ago. But it actually feels like a sad graveyard of nice guys right now because the women are vanished. You know, if we feel so threatened and unsafe there, it's hard to put our time and energy. Tools like Tinder started with this reputation of being a hookup app,
yep.
And it still has that reputation, but it has become kind of like the standard in a lot of ways. I feel safer there because the only guys get to talk to me are guys I've indicated interest in. I can unmatch, I can block, I can report. You know, we have the tools now right. to check for inappropriate messages and screen for inappropriate language. And I think I see apps like Tinder making those changes sometimes. The apps that are trying to dethrone Tinder are making changes constantly and coming up with really crazy good new ideas to try to dethrone it.
Like what?
Hinge. Hinge changes its look for me every time I open it. There's some new feature, some new way that it moves.
What is this Hinge?
It feels like Instagram. So every profile has
good.
Up to 9 square images in a row, and then they give you question prompts that appear between the images. So the last movie I saw, my personality type,
three
emojis to describe me. You can switch what prompts you want to use, and you can use as many prompts as you want, as many photos as you want. You could use just one photo, one prompt. You could use 9 photos, 9 prompts. It's creative.
Tell us a little bit about the safe space, and because Alexa and I have been going back and forth all day about Bumble.
By the way, can we just say I loved your episodes on Bumble specifically?
Two-part, right?
Two-part.
Yeah.
It was so intelligent in terms of kind of questioning, putting the woman first, and also what kinds of people that they're targeting, but also putting into the stream.
The question that I have constantly, though, is how do these companies think about their role in terms of marketing and audience growth versus actual matchmaking?
Yes.
And it's impossible
to
know.
Who said you weren't a marketer?
I know. Right? You're like, I don't know this stuff. And it's like, yeah, you get this stuff.
But are they incentivized to help me find my match, right? Because then you lose all my swiping. And especially in the case of Tinder, they're serving me ads within the platform, both for their own products, like their DTR podcast, or for like the new season
podcast?
Of Mindy Kaling's show. It's a Gimlet creative show.
Okay.
Wait, so can we just answer that? They're not incentivized to match you. They're not, because they need you coming back.
And
they need to hook you. So it sounds to me like Hinge is all about the hook because it feels like something. I'm not saying they're not. It's not. But it does feel, the way you're describing it, like there's always something new. And so that's like a great way of like sticking you to, it's like FOMO, right? It's like total fear of missing out on who could be there. But like, these companies actually are not incentivized to match you because then you go away.
Right.
So I recently interviewed the CEO of The League, and she was telling me how, you know, some of these apps think of it as a game and they just want you to play the game forever. She wants you to find your match because she knows then you're going to tell your friends to sign up for The League and we wouldn't have met if it wasn't for The League.
Right.
So that could be part of it, too, is that word of mouth is going to really matter.
Amanda Bradford.
She's amazing. I was really impressed by her.
Wait, so I was going to ask you that, like, which I think is really important. Like, how much does word of mouth play into what apps and like resources you're actually using in your dating life?
Well, this is the problem, right? Is that so much of our dating happens in private. My grandma was going to the soda shop. She was going to the dance hall. I am trying to meet as far away from my office as possible so I don't see anyone from work. You know, if I were swiping in an elevator, I would be embarrassed. I wouldn't want anyone to see my screen. You know, a lot of my friends are saving their apps in a folder that has the toilet emoji. You know, you're not thinking about this as a thing out in public anymore. So if there's this tinge of shame associated with it that I hope we can shake.
But is there an opportunity there?
Well, it's interesting. We were talking to a friend of ours last night who is recently
single.
But maybe
male
we should
or female,
introduce
though?
You to yeah. male. We should introduce you to him.
He's adorable.
But he was telling us how he was very upset, and I was like, "Holy shit! Like, Kleenex should be bringing you moments of breakup and what to do and how to advise that." But in the same token, he was telling us how he's back in the game, which so I think he's passed the actual
two
letter.
Days, he's 2 days back, he's back in the game.
But he was telling us about this new platform called Raya. We were talking about RAYA. And the thing that he told us was interesting is there's a dating personal side and then there's a professional networking side, and it's global. So are you starting to see that transition? Because I think that's what Alexa's getting to is like, how do you create networks and communities at the same time, also create a dating pool?
And it actually changes that thing that you're talking about where your grandmother and your grandfather were doing this out in public. So, like, is that the new public dating scene is like, you know, curated community bring togethers?
Oh, I have so many things on this.
Yay!
Go! So the first, I think community bring-togethers are so wise. I think, like, Bumble just opened up a Hive. It's, you walk in, you're going to get free drinks and appetizers. You're in a space that's actively branded for the thing. It gives you a funny thing to invite a date to go do. I haven't done it yet. I really want to do it.
You're doing events tonight, tomorrow, like tons of events.
Yeah. Why not open up a pop-up shop and give people a chance to actually meet each other? Yeah. So I would go to so many events. And I think, like, I think we're looking for excuses to get off our phones. In terms of the extending dating into networking, Bumble did introduce a feature called Bumble BFF, so you can find your best female friend in your city. And I think that's amazing. You could move to a new town, turn on the BFF feature, and then actually swipe through women. Of course, we don't know the etiquette yet. It's a little uncomfortable. And I don't know. I tried it, and I was like, oh, are they looking for a third in the bedroom,
yeah,
or do they want to be my best friend?
Have you figured that out yet?
Cam's blushing on that one.
You don't know what to talk about.
He kind of is.
The other spectrum of that is either your dating app also turns into a networking app, or the other way this could go is that your dating app protects you from kind of that public networking.
Yeah.
So on the league, you can indicate that you don't want to see your LinkedIn connections. You don't want to see your Facebook friends.
Smart.
The league trusts that we are smart enough to go up to our Facebook friends and ask them out on dates, and we don't need to awkwardly see them on their dating app.
That's really smart.
So it could go one or two directions. Either dating apps become just for dating apps and they offer more privacy features, or dating apps are going to become the way we do all of our networking.
Yeah. Well, what I think we're getting to, and this is persistent with a lot of the guests that we've had on our shows, is really trying to figure out as an ad community and as people that are marketers is – how, I think you just said it, Andrew, like, how do we get off the phone and come back into the real world? And we had David Plotz on the show, who talked a lot about Atlas Obscura and kind of curating these events. And I think what we're getting to is, are we getting to a place, and I would love your opinion on this, where people are recognizing the vain nature of choosing people on looks and understanding that maybe for a certain amount of nights or one night, whatever, that that might be a thing. But presumably, to create a deeper lasting connection, are these dating apps actually providing the forum where those experiences can happen and you can figure out in the right context and the right connection
where to go offline?
Exactly.
Like, in a different way. Is it? Yeah.
What's so crazy about online dating that, like, you could look at his profile, every single photo, you could read his bio 100 times, but none of that matters. It's like when you're in the room with that person, you know, in 5 seconds.
It's true.
So I'm looking for more real-world events.
So it's interesting. I briefly caught you talk about how when you're swiping in Tinder, you're getting ads for a variety of things, one of which I caught you say was Mindy Kaling's new show.
Right.
Can you talk about, in this world, are people receptive to those brand messages? Do they seem awkward and clunky if they're not Trojan? Like, what makes brand authenticity?
It's like, it's not on demand. Like, when you need a Trojan, I mean, I guess it's a good reminder, but
I do, like, what does brand authenticity look like in the dating space? And, like, when is it like, okay, like, you're going on tour with Bonobos, for example. Can you talk to us about how that synergy makes sense for the conversation that you're having?
And your audience.
Huh. I don't think I've ever put the word brand and authenticity together. I have just zero training on this, but I instantly know what it means. So I'm doing a series of live events with Bonobos throughout the month of June. The first one was in New York, and now we're still planning up our Chicago and LA shows. And basically the idea is getting YOY listeners inside of the Bonobos guide shops in these cities to watch a live podcast taping. And the moment we started to brainstorm what this would look like, I instantly had ideas that involved their clothing. And there was zero pressure for me to have those ideas. They just come naturally. If we are inside a men's clothing store, it'd be fun to use the clothes. So I'm dressing all of the guests we book in Bonobos suits. Then this idea came kind of naturally. Why not help guys in the audience improve their Tinder profiles?
Yeah.
By
dressing
them in the store, posing them together with a drink in their hand.
I mean, that should be a permanent fixture in Bonobos. I hope that there's a YOY station every Bonobos guide store in the country.
Right. But
that should
be
a permanent
fixture. No one ever takes pictures of guys. Like, you take a picture of them when they hold up a fish. You take a picture of them when they sit in the Game of Thrones chair at Madison Square Garden.
You take a picture of them if they're holding a baby. That's actually like, people are like, oh my God, you're holding a baby.
You know how to do it. Yeah. And that's why there's so many niece photos. It's like, oh, it's you and your little niece.
Yeah.
But you never see them just hanging out with their friends having fun, because I think there's less of a take my picture, let's all do a picture together culture.
So tell us a little bit about what brands you like to work with. Like, what are the sorts of marketing products or brands or things that you think could add value to the dating world in your life?
Should we talk about Airbnb?
We can talk about Airbnb, but for me, I always found myself like, and you do this, we all do this. We like go to work, right? You run home, you like shave your armpits, and then you're like blowing out your hair really fast and you're running out the door. It's like, it would be so great if Tinder hooked you up with the Glam app, right?
Or Drybar.
Or Drybar, and you had like, it was like, boom, 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 boom. Got it. On your way home, you're going to change your shoes, whatever.
It's
right?
like it's like the Tinder Thursday night out.
It's like present yourself the best way. Bonobos should do something like that.
Yeah.
So when I started YOY, one of my exercises was creating a creative brief, which wasn't standard here at Panoply at the time, and I think it should be. You kind of go through, and one of the sections is your non-indirect competitors is part of a creative brief, and those came to me so naturally. Like, an indirect competitor to YOY is Rosé.
I right? love this. Yeah.
Broad City, indirect competitor. You're not going to pick one or
talk
two.
Talk about that.
That's a show where girls are kind of running wild and being completely themselves in New York City. It's fun. It's punchy. It's drunk. It's not girly, but it's about girls.
Yeah.
So just writing that list was really empowering. And then also, you know, coming up with the profile of my standard listener. My listener is Jenny. She's been experimenting with natural deodorant. It isn't totally working for her yet. You know, Jenny is getting really into spin.
She still shaves her armpits, though, before a date.
Yes. Yeah. But that profile came so naturally. And then I turned that actually into a list of the brands that I could imagine advertising on the show, and then offer that up to our team here.
But from the amount of data that these apps have, and like people's preferences, tastes, where they're going, how many times they're engaging with people, like, for as marketers, you can't get that data and that level of activity.
That's the point. I mean, the fact that they have that level of intimate data.
Right.
Now there's a privacy issue. There's all that other stuff. But if it actually became additive to the experience, people would want to give their information away. Right. I believe.
I think it's a really ripe area for engagement. Like, we're talking about offline experiences, how certain brands could come in and add that sort of value. Like,
totally.
It's a no-brainer that Tinder / Atlas Obscura / Airbnb need to get in a threesome. Like, that needs to happen.
I love it.
Well, the thing I'm really itching to do is to do more live events in different cities. I think people want spaces to come together, like we were talking about, especially single people. And if you could look around a room full of other podcast fans, I feel like that's the ultimate test, is there another YOY fan in my area? Someone who cares as much about dating, someone who's also a feminist, someone who loves podcasting, like your chance to meet that person. And there's so many brands that it would make sense that they would want to help me bring people together. I think Squarespace, Casper, Drybar, any makeup company, Glossier. I've always imagined there could a future extension of the YOY brand could be an app that helps you match with someone who's listened to a podcast, the same podcast as you lately. And then it gives you an instant thing to talk about.
Yeah, I love that.
And I also could imagine an instant tool for your wingman or wingwoman when you go to events in your community. So some kind of way that it matches you up with someone who will be your helper.
I want to go. So we've talked a lot to you kind of offline about creating ads. We know that people who listen to podcasts are typically connected to the hosts of the podcast and have some kind of really emotional connection, especially when you're talking about something personal, right? Like, what are the opportunities to do advertising in the audio space in a different way?
Well, I'm never at a shortage of ideas. Like, I love what I do, and I listen to 200 podcasts, you know, a week, it feels like. And I've been bored by podcast ads, and I've also remembered the podcast ads that have really spoke to me. So all I'm looking for when I listen to one is some kind of new story to cling to. And it's pretty rare that I look at podcast ad copy and I can figure out my room to get in a story. but some offer more freedom than others. So I started talking with my friend Chris Berube about his new Squarespace page. He just created his own chrisberube.com. I have andreaslindsay.com. I think everyone needs their own name.com. And he was saying, I'm so glad I did it because I got in before the other Chris Berube. And instantly I had this idea, like, what if we could get the other Chris Berube on the line?
And be like, you got tromped?
Yeah, we beat you to this. Sorry.
Fun, but that's you taking a brand's message and making your own, because presumably your audience, we were just talking about this offline, is that they want to hear Andrea's version of how she's engaging with X product. In our last episode, we were very adamant that I shouldn't be giving the same interpretation of Casper mattress that you certainly are giving about Casper mattress. And I'm using that as an example. We love them as an advertiser, but just to say that, hey, look, you said we're creative talents. We're people that are passionate about our topic. Our audience is coming to listen to perspective and get an understanding of how we think about something, what our guests have to say about it. So why not allow that person to take that copy, fold it, and have a conversation with them about what makes sense in the context of your show?
Right. There's another show where they'd want to hear a lot about the drag and drop tools, but on YOY, I think a petty internet rivalry with someone with your same name makes sense.
Right. So I think what we've learned, YOY needs more offline.
Well, it's not even YOY, right? Like, the dating scene needs more the offline interaction. Community is like king.
Right.
Right? Like, if you can create community, it seems like there's like total fertile ground there. And it sounds like Bumble's probably doing that. Maybe, would you say the best?
Actually, the league is
you think
really impressive to me right now. Yeah. So I got an email from them saying, you are one of 25 women in the New York City area who we've selected for an exclusive event at the Soho House. Click here to get your ticket.
Smart as hell.
Yes.
I felt so special. Tickets were $100. It'd be 25 women, 25 guys. I get to go to the Soho House. There's free food and drink.
Right.
I really thought about it.
Wait, you didn't go?
I'm not optimistic about meeting people right now. Like, I'm going to get in there.
We got to get out there.
We got to get Andrea out there.
We're going out after this.
We're going out after this.
You're weighing.
We'll be your two wing ladies.
$100 to meet 25 guys. Is that what I'm willing to pay?
That's interesting, though, what she's asking. Interesting, how she broke that down. $4 a guy.
What would you call that? Cost per
dude. CPD.
But the league goes from city to city, and each league has a concierge. They're going one city at a time, so you can't get it in every city. They're just going to Atlanta right now. And then from that city, they do these events. And they're actually doing a summer camp in Pennsylvania, adult summer camp for a weekend.
That's like really popular right now, by the way.
Adult summer camps. Camp. Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing Bumble doing more than The Hive.
Andrea, this has been informative. There's so many follow-up questions we're going to have to take offline.
And there's so many opportunities for brands to do. I'm really kind of obsessed, like, Tinder, everybody should get rid of the freaking ads and go through the process that people go through to get
ready. The customer journey.
Yeah. Like, hello.
Every day is a new day to engage with that consumer.
Click, click, click. You're here. It should be geolocated. Click, click, click. Go get your blowout. Go get your wax.
Yeah.
Go get your bonobos.
Whatever you need
to
make
this a successful
night.
And then go get it on.
Exactly. Andrea, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you
so
much.
We really appreciate you coming to the show. Everybody check out YOY, Panoply Podcast, available everywhere you can download pods.
And where can people find you other than the podcast?
Oh, just my full name on Twitter is great, or Instagram.
Andrea Slindsay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andrea. So did that conversation make you want to get back into the dating world?
Hell no.
Thanks to Cameron Drews, our producer.
Andy Bowers.
Matt Turk. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new episode. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.